One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owens.
And I'm your co-host, DT.
It feels good. It feels good to be back in the studio.
It's good to see you, man. You done been all out of town, hanging out with celebrities and whatnot.
I did do a little traveling, but in the meantime, we haven't had an opportunity to really reflect upon November 8th.
Indeed.
And the change in which has transpired or about to transpire with the president-elect Trump.
Can you believe you're saying those words?
Well, a few episodes back, we talked about when we had Brother Karace and Chad in here. We talked in detail about Trump's America, and it is upon us. And so what are your thoughts?
That was part of it. You hear that pause right there, that silence. It was like, really? Right. You know, first, I mean, like a lot of people, I felt shocked, you know, that even us talking about it, you know, up until the election, we didn't think it was for real. Mm. You know, Trump was like this this big show, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us had
traveling
within our
show.
Our focus of scope of focus that, you know, this guy will be our president-elect, as you said. But, man, it was the first time also that I think I really paid attention to how a presidency affected the whole world because everybody was reacting. You know, it wasn't just Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there are people all over the world who had a reaction to the election. And then, you know, seeing people on Facebook kind of go back and forth about who voted and who shouldn't have voted and why it matters. And it was like, man, really, like this is the world we live in, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to try to, over the next few episodes, we're going to try to unpack what transpired in our country. But I'm like you, DT. I was completely shocked. Couldn't make sense of it. It was hard for me to believe that hate, bigotry, racism, white nationalism would be victorious in our country.
I think, you know, like this and like some other things that we've seen in our recent history in the past, it was like we gave America another chance, right? To show us and to prove to us that all of us have and deserve a seat at the table, you know, and, you know, the election and everything that build up to it is like somebody just pulled the carpet out from up under your feet, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like, what we wanted to believe that didn't exist, what we were in denial about, with the election of Barack Obama came to fruition. It's like, and looking back in retrospect, right, 2020, looking back, why are we shocked? Because, you know, we've talked very, I think, openly about the historical racism and systemic racism and the KKK and, you know, the counter movements against civil rights and Jim Crowism and convict leasing. And I mean, we've talked about all these things. So why are we shocked when it has a spokesperson now?
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. It has his own spokesperson that has
now
reached.
Now you can see him.
Now you can see him. You know, he's no longer, as Ellison would say, invisible.
You know, right? What's funny is that now that we're having a conversation in this context, you know, like a lot of people talk about the man. Mm. Like, man, the man. The man's trying to get me down. The man's keeping his foot on my neck, you know? And now we can see the man. Like, this is, right. This is the man right here.
Incarnated, right?
Right. But I also worried, you know, how going forward, because Trump had a lot of outlandish, you know, kind of approaches to what he would do when he was in office. And I wonder now, you know, in real life, how these things are going to come to pass. You know, some of the things that he proposed he would do, what that means for our relationships with other people around the world, and how he's going to navigate himself being so much of a character and somebody who is not really respected.
Yeah. Well, we want to unpack that. And you're so right. I mean, there's layers there. And he's talked about, you know, deporting 11 million people. I mean, he's talked about making stop and frisk, you know, all across the United States. I mean, he's talked about, these waterboarding that's against the Geneva Convention. I mean, he's talked about pulling out of NATO and that's not even to get into the domestic policy issues and you know, he's nominated that racist session, you know, to be the top attorney in the land that's supposed to enforce the Constitution. And then General Flynn, he's trying to put in, and the way he speaks about Muslims and others and said that people should be afraid of Muslims. And so, I mean, I think, and then, you know, that Bannon character, Steve Bannon, you know, from Breitbart and all of the racist and hatred and nationalism poison that has come out of that particular online publication that he was the architect of. It's pretty clear, I think, what he wants to do. And we're going to take a break here because we have a very exciting show. But what I'm going to say, DT, is what is most, I think, disheartening to me about all of this is how the media has treated Trump. Okay, for their ratings, which adds up for money, right? And how now we see them nationalizing white supremacy in this new term now, this alt-right term, right? We can't call it white supremacy anymore. It's alt-right. You know, how we are sitting up here normalizing hate. This media malpractice that we see happening right before our eyes on CNN, and even with some of the commentators on MSNBC, we see it on Fox has always have been in my opinion, giving out false news to begin with, but normalizing hate. I mean, we see it in the mainstream of our society now, where people will say, no, he's not like that. What do you mean? What did you mean? He actually said that. Okay. He said he could grab a woman by the pussy because he's a star. He actually said that, but no, he's not a sexist. He loves women. When we normalize,
you know,
this type of behavior, oh man, it sickens me because we have an unintelligent electorate, and we're gonna talk about that. But man, as you mentioned, was in Chicago, was in Chicago, and of course had a chance to see, Leah Marie, my daughter, as well as Josh K, and we had a fabulous time up there. Always when I'm in Chicago, I go to St. Sabana. To listen to Father Michael Flager, Brother Flager, because he he's a serious cat, man. And just a side note, Josh K had his album is coming out, his new CD is coming out. He's dropping it on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So I'm excited about to be able to, you know, pump it on the show and give him some exposure. He had a listening party last night in Chicago. I heard went really, really well. But But listen, folks, Father Flager, I mean, just a dynamic resume, right?
Right.
I mean,
this is the part where I was supposed
dynamic
to
resume. And so, folks, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear some words from Father Flager. Folks, we'll be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbean, and the show is also available on blackinstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Father Michael Flager, pastor of St. Savannah Church. Oh, man, DT.
Man, civil rights activist, leader. You got an opportunity to spend some time with him this time, didn't you?
I did. You know, just not a lot of time, but we spoke. Again, he has, you know, extended his desire to come on One Mic, One Voice. So we're looking forward to having him live on the show. But, folks, we have... I was fortunate enough to be there the Sunday after the election. And I think his words should speak to the country. And so we are bringing his words to you through the One Mic, One Voice platform.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Bring you the exclusives.
Father Flager, take it away.
Psalm 137. When you got to say praise the Lord, you haven't got to say wait. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. When we remembered Zion, there on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for song. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forgot you, O Jerusalem, may your right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Stop right there. I want to speak to you this morning from the theme, the election is over. Now what saith the church? Look at somebody next to you and say, neighbor, the election's over. Now what saith the church? On Wednesday morning, I had a sizable number of calls and emails and face-to-face conversations regarding the results of Tuesday's presidential election. The day since, we have seen demonstration, anger and despair, and millions of people simply with just disbelief. We've seen protests. We've seen a great increase of racial slurs and racial incidents take place across America. We saw a black woman's car in Indiana vandalized, calling her names and saying Trump wins on it. We saw the victory march of the KKK. My own son's car was vandalized. I'm not sure because of him living in a primarily white neighborhood or because his last name is Flager. We've seen a man pulled from his car at Roosevelt Road and beaten because they said he voted for Trump. We've seen Marist High School, the group of girls, being racist emails sent to one another and now expelled. Tuesday night, myself and Phil and Corey and Sean and Preston was out there. We went out to Mount Greenwood, and there was about 30 of us in our group. There was well over 500 angry people around there in the name of Blue Lives Matter, but that really wasn't what they were about. We said two things. We said, number one, we want transparency, and we want to make sure that all the cameras are looked at in the shooting of Mr. Beale. We just want justice. Secondly, we said that because of what happened out there on Sunday afternoon and the racial slurs, we wanted to make a statement that there is no place in Chicago that any individual, despite their race or their creed, should not be able to go and not feel threatened and not feel like they're not welcome there. When we asked this, we were met with jeers of, go back to your ghetto, get out of here, you animal. I was called a Wigger. I saw a mother and her young seventh grade daughter together give me the finger and tell me, F. Blager. It got so bad that the police told us we had to leave because they could no longer protect us. We went down an alley and then got to our car when over 100 folks come running down the block, and the police said, get out of here now, get out of here now, we can't stop them. They had to escort us down alleys to get us out of Mount Greenwood in 2016. I said then, and I'll say today, I had not seen such hate and such anger since I was a junior in high school in 1966 in Marquette Park. This is 2016. Many have expressed since Tuesday that they are frightened about what lies ahead. I said the other day that in last Sunday, we turned back the clock. Last Tuesday, we turned back America. Those fears that people have are especially voiced by those who were attacked by Mr. Trump in this campaign. They are the voices of black and brown children who fear their children will be further targeted by a militarized police department or a stop and frisk police state that he said he would do in Chicago. Those fears are felt by Hispanic pastors who are dealing with terrified, undocumented families. Those fears are felt by young millennials and Black Lives Matter who fear that rogue police officers will no longer even fear a Justice Department stepping in and holding them accountable if a Rudy Giuliani is put the Attorney General of the United States of America. So who will we turn to for justice and accountability? Those fears cause many of our Muslim brothers and sisters who are wondering whether this country can be a place where they can live anymore. Those fears are the fears and voices of parents who say, what do I tell my children? What do we tell our children while we can do all the bullying classes in our school systems all around this country? But a man who bullied, who talked down people, who mocked people, who degraded people, that man was rewarded. And now, the president of the free world. What do we tell our children who we say don't do this to each other, but a presidential candidate got elected on doing it to people around this country? The truth is, the results of last Tuesday should be no surprise to us. You see, Donald Trump tapped into an anger and a frustration of America who are fed up with a government system that is both dysfunctional and broken. It caused millions of people to vote for an anti-government candidate because people are sick with government. It's the same mentality that elected Bruce Rauner in the state of Illinois. How's that working for you? This frustration with government also caused millions of others simply to not vote at all. because they got frustrated with the government system. Donald Trump also tapped into the mobilization of angry white males. Angry white males who said over and over again in smoke-filled rooms they were afraid of losing their country. He also tapped in, let's be honest, with the segment of America that still exists that was not ready to let a woman become a president of the United States. Donald Trump creatively used that frustration and that anger and that fear in turning it into that blame philosophy and somehow said your disgust and your frustration and aimed it and targeted at the other, making himself the champion of white America. In an America that is rapidly changing demographics, in an America that is culturally changing, Donald Trump chose to run off of white identity and white nationalism. Let's be honest. I didn't come here to play with you today. A white nationalism that had the NRA wrap their arms around him and the Ku Klux Klan endorse him, and he would not denounce their endorsement. Donald Trump really began running 8 years ago with the whole birther movement. The birther movement attacked the first black president. Don't get fooled, it was about where he was born. The birther movement was a code. It was a code that he, this black man, is really not one of us. That he's not a real American. He centered his nationalism by degrading Mexicans, calling them criminals and rapists, committing to building a wall to separate Mexico and the United States. He claimed that he would ban Muslims. He degraded women. He mocked the disabled. He even took a hit on John McCain. I understood when he went after everybody else. But I know America, when you come after our veterans, our soldiers, they go turn on you. And he went after John McCain as if John McCain, because he was a prisoner of war, was not a real soldier. And it was a 3-day story and it was over with. I said, Lord have mercy. White nationalism is greater than even the soldiers. As a result, many individuals feel traumatized by what happened Tuesday, much like our ancestors in Psalm 137. They feel like our ancestors in Psalm 137 saying, how can we sing the songs of Zion? How can we sing the songs of praise and joy? How can we sing on this day? And they wrestling with hanging up their hearts. Their harps were the instruments of joy and of peace and of hope and of praise. They chose to say, must we surrender to mourning because of the condition? They wrestled with hanging up the harps of joy and praise because they were felt so traumatized because they felt a captivity. And too many brothers and sisters are traumatized today because they also sense a captivity. On the external, it would look like that somehow our dream had been held captive. Harry Belafonte said last week, this election is more than just Democrats and Republicans. Our dreams are on the field of voting. Somehow people are traumatized because they feel, Lynn, that hope has been held captive, that respect has been held captive, that love has been held captive, that equality and justice has been held captive. And while it seems like all that has been held captive, it also seems like mean-spiritedness has been loosened. That hate has been loosened. That bullying and fear have been loosened. That supremacy and arrogance have been loosened in America. I said some weeks ago, it is not Donald Trump that I fear. It is the millions of Americans who have pulled back the sheets and have given boldness to hate and racism and prejudice and genderism and told, now you can be whatever you want to be, as ugly as you want to be, because he has freed you from your political correctness.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
This is Richard Taplin, host of the Black Box Podcast. Wanted to tell you, thanks again for listening to the One Mic, One Voice. Please be sure to check out their Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. And while you're on Facebook, go ahead and stop by Blackin Studios. Also, check out our website, blackinstudios.com, to find all the podcasts that record here, including the One Mic, One Voice Show, the Black Box, the Elijah Bailey Show, the Roxy by Design Show, and also the Gamer Stand Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support, and remember, it's Blackin.
It's Blackin.
Wow, welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice Show. We took a break there. I didn't want to shut it off, to be honest with
man,
you.
Man, he was laying down the golden gospel on them, you know. But I want to ask you though, what was the vibe like in the congregation in the room?
Man, it was a packed church. Saint Savannah is a traditional, beautiful, Catholic church. I was probably, 1,000 people there.
Wow.
He's got the noise canceling mic on, so you really can't hear the applause or the cadence coming from the audience. But it was electric. Mm-hmm. It was electric. And all the news cameras from Chicago were lined up, hanging on every single word. And trust me, folks, he's just getting warmed up here. I mean, that's like the intro to Father Flager. So we just want to go back and again, this is so critical. This is the Sunday after the election that this great orator, this civil rights icon, that is known across the world, is delivering, I think, a very powerful message. To those who are in the church and those who are out of the church. Take it away, Father Flager.
And Donald Trump will be put in Pharaoh's chair, and he will be somewhat contained by government of a Congress. But those people he loosened, they will not be contained. And my fear is, and let me say this, I told you this before, there's a part of me that thank God for Donald Trump for running for president. Because he exposed the America we want to pretend does not exist. That America is real, that America is strong, and that America is bigger than you think it is. We feel like our ancestors. How can I sing songs of Zion while I feel this captivity in my heart and soul and spirit. Some have called me and said, my faith is shaken. Why would God allow this? Why would God do this? Sisters and brothers, let me be clear. If you hear nothing else I say today, but let me be clear, God did not elect Donald Trump. I don't care what the evangelicals say, God did not elect Donald Trump. We did. American people elected him. A country that has become so full of itself and drowning in its ego and in its arrogance and in its self-righteousness. That's who elected Donald Trump. A country that has kept God on its money and continue to hang his name up in our courtroom, but has refused to acknowledge God and has lost its moral compass, taking his name from our schools, yes, but a country of citizens who's taken his name from our home and our communities. No, God did not elect Donald Trump any more than God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Rather, the failure of righteous people to stand up and take authority. You know who elected Donald Trump? A church that is seesawed between silence of the prophetic voice and a church that has been hijacked Christianity and is a man-made idol. That's what brought us to the place we find ourselves in now, to churches that have been hijacked from the truth of the gospel and have become another corporation, another business in America, wrapping its arms around Pharaoh. So what then? What then is the future for our country? What's then the future move for the church? What saith to the condition we now find ourselves in? Shall we surrender? Shall we surrender to hopelessness and despair and fear and hate? Shall we hang up our harps and drown in our mourning? Or will we rise up in our faith and claim to be the light and the salt we're called to be, to straighten the crooked, to smooth the rough, and to say, thus saith the Lord, this is the year of the Lord. I can't speak for you, but I speak for Mike Flager today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will pick up our hearts and I will praise the Lord. My praise will get louder than the hate. My praise will get louder than the violence. My praise will get louder than the demeaning of women. My praise will outshout the hate. Listen to me. Donald Trump may now have a seat in the White House, but that does not mean God got off his seat. In the throne room of God, he's still God. And my Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So what do we do? First, the church must rise up and let our brothers and sisters know. Let the immigrants know. Let the Muslims know. Let the young African-American brothers know. Let our women know. Let our poor know. We will protect them. We will wrap our arms around them. And if we need be, we will be a sanctuary where they can come and find safety and love and respect and support. We will stand with those others demonized and let them know you're our brothers.
You are sisters. You don't have to be Christian. You don't have to be Catholic. You are a child of God, and we will protect you. What else must the church do? We must get healed from our spiritual laryngitis, and we must get delivered from our compromised cotton candy theology. The church has sold its soul. Time for the church to get healed and become the prophetic truth teller that God called it to be, who will demand, not ask, but demand justice and equality. We must be the church that not simply prays, but will get up and fight and expose and, if necessary, dismantle any policy, any politician, or any government that demonizes any human being in America. It is good that people have gone to the streets to put notice, but you must then come from the street and put pressure on the government to be who the Constitution demands they be. Listen to me. We have history in this. When John Kennedy died, got killed, got assassinated, there was a wonderment that the things that the civil rights movement had him working on would now fall aside, especially when they took this brother from the South and said they were going to make him president as the vice president, Lyndon Johnson. There was the immediate fear now all the progress made would fall short because of Kennedy's assassination. But the movement regrouped, and the movement did what nobody thought they could do. They made a Southern man be the one who pushed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. It didn't take under Kennedy the Catholic. It took under a Southern general who got up and forced him. He was forced by America. Don't think Lyndon Johnson just did the Civil Rights Act. He was pushed to the Civil Rights Act. It's time to push again. Somebody shout push. Shout it again, push. Shout it again, push. The church must be the moral compass to our new president, to remind him the campaign and the mean-spiritedness of the campaign is over. And now, President-elect Trump, you must apologize. You must apologize for the rhetoric and the language that has degraded and demonized any human being because of their race, their gender, their religion, or their disability. You must apologize. Why? Because you cannot have reconciliation until you have repentance. That's Bible. You must apologize and call all your supporters to do the same. Because the church, if she rises up and becomes the church, it will be costly. We will experience persecution, attack, lies, and perhaps even death. I don't take the death threats put on me lightly, but I would rather die speaking truth than live speaking compromise. Understand that gospel we read? There will be persecution, and you will be handed over, sometimes by friends, sometimes by families, sometimes by Christians, sometimes by members. Understand that persecution will come because that is the cost of the gospel. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So if we are to survive the persecution and the attack that's going to come, mind you, it will come. It has already begun. Then the church must be willing to go deeper into our faith. We must become like the deer that panteth after water. We must become thirsty for our God. Man can't change this. Woman can't change this. But God can change this. What we have to fight can't be fought on the street until it's first fought in the soul. We must thirst after God, and we must speak, thus saith the Lord. And I call every pastor, every imam, every rabbi, stop worrying about what the people in the pews will do. Worry about what God says and let the people go where they go. I don't care if you like me. I just want him to be pleased with me. We, the church, must put flesh on this gospel. We must not just say, what saith the church? But now, what doeth the church? We, the church, must be willing to confront not Trump, bigger than Trump. Michael, we must be willing to confront powers and principalities that are using him for their agenda. We must face hate with love. We must face violence with peace. We must face injustice with justice. We must face fear with faith. And we must declare, we will fight until righteousness flows like a river and justice like a mighty stream. So I say to you today, St. Sabina, don't hang up your harps. Pick them up. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye ancient doors, for the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Yes, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong in battle. The Lord is the King of glory. So put on your armor. Get ready to fight. Get ready to fight. Get ready to fight.
This is Quraysh Ali Lansana, poet, author, educator, and Oklahomie. And when I listen to podcasts, I'm on that one mic, one voice joint.
Wow, folks, that's an amazing discourse by Father Plager.
I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to stand beside somebody like that and be in a fight with him.
You know, it does give you that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've often said to myself, if I was in Chicago, man, this would be the church that I would go to, because I truly believe, you know, he's on the side of justice. Mm-hmm. He's on the side of uplifting the least among us, and the gospel, no matter what your faith may be, faith points us into the direction of loving each other and to creating a better world, not dividing up the world in such a way that it is us versus them. That's not faith. And so I am. Yeah, that is a word that that we needed to hear in this time at this moment, because it is not time to give up, DT. And we're going to be doing this, you know, this three-part series, this being the one on American Christianity. But I think he made a distinction between the broken church. Mm-hmm. And I like how he says the church needs to be healed. Mm-hmm. You know, the church has history in times like this. Mm-hmm. Of being a centerpiece of gatherings and strategizing and standing up to local, state and federal government. But what we see today in the wake of the rise of Trumpism, we see a dead church, and or we see an evangelical movement that have voted in concert, as we have said, with white nationalists, with
bigots.
Could you
break down that evangelical piece?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, we would say, most people would say white evangelicals, of those that are part of the Protestant faith, that attend these so-called mega churches. Okay, I could call them out right now, but maybe I will in the coming weeks, depending on how high the meter goes when we when we're doing this.
I make sure
but
to bring it with me.
It's this collective of this demographic of white, some of them young, some of them middle aged, some of them educated, some of them not, but have this fundamental connection to be, get this, against abortion, for capital punishment. They're against gay marriage. They're high on these issues. They will argue the deaf on these issues, but they could care less about the poor. They champion removing the Affordable Care Act. It is a broken religion to even call it that. And when they went in the ballot boxes, they voted for a man that didn't even understand the difference between 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Okay. They voted for a man that demonizes race, women, demonizes gender. That's who they voted for. Because at the base of the evangelical movement is bigotry and racism and hatred. They're just too much of a coward to admit it. And they hide behind these, quote unquote, biblical dogma that, in my opinion, is laughable. But they put Trump in office. And as Father Flager called out in his own message and said, no, God did not elect Donald Trump, as the evangelicals would like to say. No. The most dark, sinister element.
God had to do with this, right?
Nothing to do with it.
Thank God Donald Trump is the president.
Yeah, let's blame God for it, right? The most dark, sinister elements of our society put Mr. Trump in office. And we have dark days ahead of us, folks, but we cannot lose hope. We do not go down without a fight.
Mm. Ain't no giving in.
There's no giving in. The battle has just started. And at One Mic, One Voice, we are hopeful, and we will continue. We will continue to bring the conversation forward, the information forward. We feel more emboldened now that guess what? Human rights is on the table. And folks, we will stand until we cannot stand any longer, because history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, Scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many we became one? Or will she find that we solve nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can beat the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.